Viva Frelimo!
Viva!
Viva Frelimo!
Viva!
Frelimo aina mwisho.
Aina mwisho, Frelimo aina mwisho.
Frelimo aina mwisho.
Aina mwisho, Frelimo aina mwisho.
Viva Frelimo, the story of the national liberation struggle in Mozambique. The story of a victory and of the men and women who made it possible.
Frelimo, aina mwisho.
Aye, 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 Frelimo, aina mwisho.
Part 1, The Birth of Frelimo. On June 25th, 1962, a group of Mozambicans held a meeting in Dar es Salaam, the capital of what was then called Tanganyika and later became Tanzania. This meeting of Mozambicans was taking place at a time of dramatic changes in Africa. Many colonies were becoming independent in the great wave of decolonization that had begun in the late 50s. The significance of what was going on in the continent was clear to everyone who took the trouble to look at the situation. In 1959, the first issue of a new magazine, The African Communist, had declared, "Africa is in revolt. From east to west, from north to south, the peoples of this great continent are arising to claim their birthright that has been stolen. Africans are uniting in powerful national liberation movements. Africa is on the march for freedom." The major capitalist powers were also aware of what was happening. The British statesman Harold Macmillan was speaking of the wind of change sweeping through Africa. But things were not quite the same in Mozambique and the other Portuguese colonies. On the one hand, the Portuguese remained unmoved by the wind of change and stood firm in Africa, refusing to decolonize. On the other hand, the people of Mozambique had not united in a powerful national liberation movement. But the situation changed dramatically on the 25th of June 1962 at the meeting of Mozambicans in Dar es Salaam. There, they created the national movement, the Frente de Libertação de Mozambique, Frelimo.
Viva Mondane, viva Samora, viva Mirante, Mozambicanos. A Frelimo é a vanguarda, é a Frelimo, guia do povo.
The Mozambicans who were gathered in Dar es Salaam came from all parts of Mozambique and from almost every sector of the population. Nearly all of them had had some experience of resistance against Portuguese colonialism and of the reprisals which normally followed. There had been big strikes in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, which often ended in mass arrests, deportation, and, on one occasion, the massacre of dozens of dock workers. There had been the massacre at Moeda in Cabo Delgado province in 1960, in which 600 Mozambicans were murdered while engaged in a peaceful protest. The Mozambicans were at the end of their tether. The time had come for strong action, and for that, a united national liberation movement was necessary. This was what was created at the 1962 meeting in Dar es Salaam. Gathered there were representatives of three groups of exiled Mozambicans. One was called UDINAMU, which had been formed in southern Rhodesia in 1960. Another was MANU, formed in 1961 from groups of Mozambican workers living in Tanganyika and Kenya. The third, called UNAMI, had also grown up in exile in Malawi. But the key figure in this meeting belonged to none of these organizations. He was Eduardo Chivambo Mondlan, a man whom we'll be saying more about in a later episode of Viva Frelimo. Mondlan had been persecuted by the Portuguese secret police in Mozambique because of his political activities. He finished his studies in other countries and became a university professor at an American university and a senior official of the United Nations. Mondlan had established contacts with all the separate Mozambican liberation parties, but, as he later wrote in his book, The Struggle for Mozambique, he had refused to join any of them, preferring to campaign strongly for unity. In this, he had the support of President Julius Nyerere and other African leaders, and it was this view that prevailed in 1962. The separate groups came together at the June meeting and agreed to abandon their separate identities, merging into the new movement, Frelimo. And Frelimo was not only a union of these three exiled parties. Other Mozambicans who had left the country more recently and who had a better understanding of the internal situation joined Frelimo, and all accepted Eduardo Mondlan as their leader. But this was only the beginning, and a long and stormy road lay ahead before the goal of true national unity could be achieved.
Camarada Mondlane, President of Frelimo, Malove agora matendo a corruzi, Lipundi choya mana, Quentu kajo kova kodu kenda madengwa mafindi kuno.
The attitudes which divided the different parties before the 25th of June did not disappear overnight. They had problems of tribalism and regionalism, still seeing their struggle from the point of view of their tribe or their part of the country, instead of seeing it as a struggle of the Mozambican nation. There were different ideas about who the enemy really was. Some saw the enemy as the white man, wherever in the world he might be, but particularly in Mozambique. This simplistic and basically reactionary view was to cause a sharp struggle in Frelimo. All these problems, in addition to differences over what tactics to use in the struggle against Portuguese colonialism, were to be expected in the country's first true national movement. The only question was, would the tribalists, regionalists, and racists win control over the movement, or would they lose? The first Congress of Frelimo, held 3 months after the foundation of the movement, was the first victory for the most progressive forces. These forces, led by Eduardo Mondlan, included the young people who had come out recently from Mozambique after taking part in the clandestine struggle against colonialism. Their ideas were very different from those of the old men who had lived in exile in East Africa and Malawi. These old men were unprepared for anything except the peaceful type of struggle that brought independence to the countries in which they lived. The First Congress, however, adopted as part of its program the declaration that all means of struggle would be used, and that meant very clearly that the armed struggle was coming, unless the Portuguese colonial regime changed its tune. After the First Congress, some of the founder members of Frelimo abandoned the movement. And soon, when any two of them got together in any part of the world, they would announce the creation of a new Mozambican party. But these were the tribalists and the racists and the reactionaries. Frelimo was better off without them, and in any case, few people paid any attention to their antics abroad. The real problem, although few people thought about it at the time, was the fact that some of the reactionaries had stayed inside Frelimo.
Mm-hmm.
The menace of the reactionaries inside the movement was not to come to the surface, was not to explode until nearly 6 years later. But in 1962, the thoughts of Eduardo Mondlane were centered on holding Frelimo together and preparing for the struggle ahead. And these, indeed, were the main tasks of the day. Efforts were made to bring the Portuguese government to the conference table without the need for bloodshed. But these efforts failed. The colonial authorities remained arrogant and stubborn, insisting that Mozambique was part of Portugal. Then, in January 1963, Frelimo began sending militants inside Mozambique to mobilize the people for armed struggle, and others were sent to Algeria for military training. There were 50 in the first group who went to Algeria, followed shortly afterwards by two other groups of about 70. Among them was a young man called Samora Moisés Machel, who would later lead Mozambique through the final stages of the struggle for independence and on to the socialist revolution.
Frelimo, aina mwisho,
aina mwisho, Frelimo, aina mwisho,
Frelimo, aina mwisho,
aina mwisho.
You've been listening to a chapter in the story of the liberation struggle in Mozambique. This 9-part series was produced at the studios of Radio Mozambique in Maputo, and you can hear the next installment of Viva Frelimo at the same time next week.